5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. A bad city, broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad day, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Appalachian, right across the river through the woods from where Granny needs to go to bed, so she always likes to hit that purple cushy cush cush in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion show, get up, should do. All my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shaking. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Mafia tonight, the number 844-843-6879 to get on the bench later. Haro, our sports business and legal insider, will join us this hour. And then we'll rock and roll on everything going on. Right now, the Sixers are blowing out the Hawks 110 to 91. I mean, this game's been bizarre, if you ask me, because bottom line is they've led multiple times by like 10, 11, 12 points, whatever. And the Hawks kept coming back, right? They were down huge early in the game. And then at the end of one, it was 33-20. And then the Hawks outscored them 35-24 in the second. They were down by two at the half after trailing by 10 or 12 a couple times. Every time they got close, they'd get to two, and then the Sixers would turn it back up to 9, 10, 11, 12, right? Next thing you know, Sixers outscore them 34-29 in the third. And then in the fourth, they've just been killing them. It's 19-10 so far in scoring in the fourth, but there's only 4.5 minutes left in the game. This game's over. I know that Brian Anderson keeps trying to sell you that the Hawks can score in droves in a hurry, and this game's not over, but this game is over. This game is in the books, done. Philly wins. Series tied at ones. There's no way they're losing this game in any way, shape, or form. 112-94 right now. So bottom line is, in this game, Embiid's going off. He's got 36 points, 11 boards. He's 12 of 22 from the floor, 2 of 4 from downtown. Curry's got 19, including 5 threes. Harris has been unbelievable. 11 of 19 from the floor, 22 points, 6 boards, 3 dimes. Green hit a 3. He's got 5 points, 3 rebounds, 8 dimes. Nice job with him on the dimes. Simmons has done nothing, but he's 4 points, 3 rebounds, 7 dimes. He just doesn't shoot anymore. His confidence is in the toilet. as far as shooting the rock, Simmons is afraid to shoot the rock. The only thing he can do now is go to the 10, lay up or dunk. That's it. He has no other option. Howard's got 6 points. Milton went off. He hit 4 of 5 threes. He has 14 points. Nobody else matters. George Hill's got 4. So they shot 53% in the game from the floor, 50% from downtown, 12 of 24. Bottom line is this. I think, you know, Young's got the double-double, 21 points and 10 dimes. But the problem is, if you ask me, when you look at his game, he's 8 of 9 from the line. But the problem I've had with him is 4 turnovers. I mean, he's got 4 turnovers, right? And then he missed a free throw. The crowd just lit him up. He's 1 of 6 from 3, so he's been bricking. He's 6 of 15 from the floor, so he's just been terrible tonight. I think that's the difference in the game for me. Don't be fooled by the 21 and 10 dimes. The double-double looks good. That's because he's got all the minutes, all the burn. He's got all the handle. He's got the ball in his hands the whole game. So all that is just normal work for him. Usually he has way better games than that. We welcome in our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier. It's Pharrell on a bench with Mafia, 844-843-6879, the number. So Trae Young, to me, has really kind of cost him. He's had a real average game, bad shooting game, bad from the floor, bad from downtown, missed the free throw. They're riding him. And I just thought his handle was bad tonight as well. There's just no getting around. You can't have your point guard, the star of your team, turning the ball over 4 times. I mean, the guy's throwing the ball away. The pressure they've put on him, the defense they put on him. I saw Simmons swat a shot of his, and I saw Thibel mess with him with the long arms and deflections, and he threw the ball away a couple times. He made some really bad passes. He threw one to Lou Williams in the corner that was terrible, that Williams couldn't handle. I just thought Trae Young, it all got to him tonight. The crowd, the pressure, the Sixers' physicality and defense was the difference. And they got to him, and he just had a bad night. And I guarantee you, after that game, which is about to end, he's going to talk about he just didn't have it tonight. He did not play smooth. He did not have it tonight in terms of his usual performance of, you know, creating all kinds of floaters and lob dunks and everything else. I just thought he was, you know, a train wreck, to be honest with you. We got a lot coming up on the bench.
It has come to our attention that some of you are guilty of superstition. Dude, trust us. Winning after an XL pepperoni pie before every game is just a coincidence. Take a breath.
And maybe a diabetes test.
We're your home for the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Let's go to Allen in Pittsburgh.
Hey, what's up, Scotty?
Hey, dude.
I have a question for you. So what do you think is going on with the Milwaukee Bucks? Because the last few games they just played, they look horrible. Because they have number one defense, they sure ain't showing it, and they ain't scoring the high points.
Well, I think, you know, it's real simple, Allen. They got their ass beat. I mean, number one defense, my ass, okay? They got stomped. They got humiliated. They got rubbed out. And not only that, their starters got schooled. Then the Nets bench, deep bench, I'm talking guys that never play 1 minute ever, they came in and they kicked their ass. I mean, they literally, at one point in that game, too, they were up 45 points. I thought they were going to win by 50. And then they win by 39. I said on Coast to Coast today on the TV side, that's the worst playoff performance I've ever seen in my life by a team in a game. Like, I don't remember seeing a team, you know, you'd have to find it for me. I don't ever remember seeing a team down 45 in a playoff game like that mattered, right? In a second round playoff game, you make it to the second round and you're down 45 in the game. Look, bottom line is Durant humiliated Giannis. He was breaking his ankles. He was sticking threes in his face. He was sticking threes with and ones in his face. He was out rebounding him, blocking shots, doing everything. And there was nothing they could do about it. Middleton didn't do anything. Giannis didn't do anything. Forbes did his usual 10 or 12, 14 points. He got it in. But the bottom line is that everyone on the Nets produced. Everyone. Blake Griffin was throwing down tomahawk, follow rebound dunks, baseline dunks in Giannis's face. Every guy, you know, Harris went off. Mike James is a guy that they picked up off the scrap heap from Europe. He was playing in Russia, and the guy's dropping 12, 15 points a game. He had 14 or something like that. Bottom line is that the Bucks got stomped in the first two games. Don't be fooled by that 115-107 game either. They were getting their ass beat in that game by 25. So the trip to Brooklyn was not good for the Bucks. And they absolutely have to win, I think, you know, tomorrow night, without a doubt, they have to win that game. And not only do they have to win that game, but in my opinion, they have to blow out the Nets, because if they're going to barely beat the Nets at home in game three, game four, let's say, I mean, a win's a win. If you win by two or three or five or 20 or 30, it doesn't matter. If you win, that's all that matters. But the reality is, when you get beat as badly as they got beat in Brooklyn, and then you go home and you have to struggle, let's say, to win, let's say they win by two or three or four, and they have to work that hard to win at home, they're not winning that series. They need to blow out the Nets in game three to show them that the games in Brooklyn were a facade. It was just a natural progression of them winning both home games like they should. You know, they're the, you know, whatever, number, you know, high seed, the Nets two, whatever, and they get the home court and they're playing and they handled their business. Now we'll see if the Bucks handle their business. But everything that I thought would be true, that Giannis, Lopez, Portis would dominate the glass with their size and physicality and that defense of theirs, none of that came true. The Nets dominated the game, dominated the glass, dominated transition, dominated turnovers, steals, everything. And then you had, you know, Durant going off for 32 and whatever. And then you had Kyrie and everybody else. Everybody was in double figures. Everybody. So, I mean, the Bucks just got rolled, and they have to return serve in game three, that's for sure. So this game's 118-110 Sixers. I told you they had no chance. Absolutely no chance to come back with 4.5 minutes left. This game's over. They're up 18 with under a minute to go. It's in the bag. And I'm also watching this hockey game, which is going on, which is certainly way better. Now, in that game, Colorado leads 1-0 over Vegas in game five in Denver. And there's 14.5 minutes left in the second. So Brendan Saad scored a goal with no time left on the clock, with literally 1 second left in the first period. He skated in, looked up at the clock, saw how much time was left, and let a wrister fly. He's left-handed. Let a wrister fly from just over the blue line, and he burned Fleury. Fleury was caught napping. It was top shelf where grandma keeps her weed. And it went right up under the crossbar and in the goal, and it was 1-0 at the end of one. It should have never happened. He got smoked. He got burned. He wasn't ready. He even knew it. He reacted like, oh, my God, I can't believe I just let that in. He was so mad at himself, Fleury, that he let the goal in. And that's why they're losing 1-0. The game has been really good, but Vegas is losing 1-0 because of that weak-ass goal. Now, I won't deny that it was a great shot by Saad with, you know, perfect timing. He knew how much time was left, 1 second. He let it fly, and he caught him sleeping. He just made a brilliant save, Fleury, on a break-in, you get a chance on the doorstep, sliding in past the defense, and Fleury came up big, sliding across the crease to make the save. So he really can't afford to let another one in and go down two zip. He's faced 15 shots. Vegas has 11 shots, and it is what it is. Right now, Colorado up 1-0. Now, in the other game earlier tonight, the Lightning, the defending Stanley Cup champs, they beat the Carolina Hurricanes 2-0. They beat them in Raleigh. And I got to tell you, I was watching the game, and it is just beyond me how dominant they were in terms of, I don't know if I'm just missing something or if I am tripping or whatever, but all I know is I never felt once ever, literally, that Carolina had any good chances to score. I never thought that they really had any killer, amazing, you know, shots or opportunities to put it in the net. I thought, as I was watching the game, all I saw was, you know, Tampa dominating the puck, dominating the neutral zone. They had four guys back every rush. They weren't letting anything happen. When they had a power play, it was like when Carolina got power plays in the game and they got them, it was like they were shorthanded. That's how dominant Tampa's defense was in controlling that puck. They couldn't get the puck into the zone, and when they got it into the zone, it went right out of the zone immediately. They threw it into the corners, didn't matter. Tampa got it out. They tried to, you know, get it to the point, and Tampa would steal it and get it out. And, I mean, they played like total, you know, FU hockey. Like, you're not doing anything to us. We're winning tonight. It's over. We're not playing any more games here tonight. Oh, look, here's a goal. Boom. Now here's another one. Boom. It's 2-0. Game over. I never once felt, as I watched that game, and I want everybody in Raleigh and in North Carolina to understand this. I got no bones in this. But you guys, really, you never had a chance in that game tonight. I couldn't believe it because I bet on them. I thought they'd send it back to Tampa for game six. And I thought their goalie played really well. They should have lost the game like 5-0. The guy made all kinds of great saves. But I thought Tampa dominated them. They just never had good scoring chances. They were all weak-ass, pathetic shots that never had a chance. Vasilevskiy was laughing at them. That's how easy it was. It's Varela on a bench. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
No soup for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you, and I'm watching this game. Great game. By the way, Fleury just made a save that was just erotic. I mean, he made a toe jam save that was so ridiculous, and it took NBC 5 minutes to show it again. I don't know what they were showing. They were showing, like, stick handling and guys skating around in circles. I don't know what they were doing, but this guy made the sickest save you ever saw in your life with his toe, and he was completely falling down, legs split. I mean, it looked like he broke his back, and somehow he stuck his toe out and stopped this shot, this breakaway shot. I mean, this guy made the greatest save ever, and it took him 5 minutes, NBC, to show it again. I'm like, how do you not show that save immediately in a replay? And honestly, that's kind of, I think NBC's done a great job with hockey. I won't deny that over the last whatever dozen years, but tonight they didn't. I mean, you got to show that highlight the minute it happens. It was such a great save. It was like a game-saving stop. They're down one. If you go down two, it's over on the road. But he made this incredible toe jam save, and they never – it took a – Mafia saw it. It took 5 minutes for him to show the replay. I'm like, what in God's name had just happened? I go, Mafia, you got to see this save. And then he's like, what save? I was like – don't worry, they'll show it. And then they never did. And he just made another save on a wraparound shot that was incredible. This guy, Fleury, is going off. Rick Haro is our sports business and legal insider and hot dog connoisseur on not only Sports Grid, but Coast to Coast. He's famous. And Pharrell on a Bench. Every Tuesday, you can see him on the TV and hear him on the radio side on these shows. And he's on lots of other shows on the network. You can hear a daily numbers game, everything else on Sports Grid. Here he is, Rick Haro.
By the way, if the Canadians play the Lightning in the finals, there will be no goals, because when you watch Vasilevsky and Price, I mean, I know I'm not watching the game now. I've kind of cut it off for the night, but Vasilevsky played an amazing game today, and Price has taken that team into the, you know, as the basically the champions of Canada. I guess it's goal, hot goaltending wins, but that we know that. So it's,
well, I mean, that's that's the deal. That's the deal. I mean, this is the, you know, you get this deep into the playoffs and you know, this guy's got three Stanley Cups with the Penguins for a reason, because you win Stanley Cups with great goaltending, nothing else. You can be as hot as ever, like the Kings were in 2012, whatever, and it was still Jonathan Quick that won him the Stanley Cup. The reason the Canadians swept the Jets was Carey Price. No other reason. They scored all these goals. They won in overtime to Foley. None of that matters. It's this guy giving up like one goal the entire series. I mean, what did he give up the other night? Two. He gave up two goals. That was a bigger story than Canada not having vaccines. I mean, honestly, like, the guy doesn't give up any goals. He's phenomenal. Now, while we're on hockey, Rick, let me ask you this question. Wayne Gretzky, he's got to be the luckiest guy in the world. It's amazing to me, because we've talked about this on our shows. Like, you know, Wayne got a huge deal to do the TNT deal, like $3 million a year to do the studio analyst for TNT. And now he's cut this huge deal with, like, I don't know, BetMGM or something. They hired him as an ambassador. So he's just got money pouring in on all these gigs. And we actually talked about how, you know, really, as a GM, coach, everything else in the league, I mean, he was a disaster. Let's just face facts. And then when it comes to talking hockey, believe it or not, people have, you know, found him very boring. Like, you know, when he was doing those jobs, running the teams and coaching, he was very, it was so stale. It wasn't even funny. He couldn't even, like, deal with the media. Are you surprised that he's getting all these gigantic gigs and these gigantic endorsements when he's been so boring? I mean, he was the greatest player ever, but off the ice, after his career was over, he's been nothing but a bore. I mean, let's just be honest.
He's got to step it up. He really, I agree with you. I was going to say that he's you know, he talks a better golf game, by the way, because he's done commentary. I've heard it than a hockey game. But, and the other thing about stepping away too, and I guess when you're the best player in the world, you can pick your spots, but he didn't really do the folks in Edmonton any favors, you know, the way he stepped away from that deal, and to do it, like, you know, right after they left the playoffs. I guess you're going to leave and your team loses, that's the time to leave, but it sure didn't look good.
I mean, so what is this deal he got? He got this huge deal, multi-year deal with the betting company. And, you know, I told you the name of it, BetMGM again. Anyway, you know, it is what it is. It is who it is, whoever. I know they do their thing. They're huge, whatever. But he's going to be doing he's a brand ambassador, and he's going to do they're looking for expansion into U.S. states and into Canada, and they hired him. I'm sure he got a lot of money to do that.
Yeah, but, you know, details not disclosed. That's your standard answer when you really want to know how much and they don't want to tell you. The other thing is, it'll be an interesting dynamic when he's on the Turner TNT set when they do hockey starting next year, and we have some betting issues, and also, you know, that company, we don't have to mention them, is not going to be sponsoring all of the the NHL games. In fact, Betway just did a deal with NHL. So, you know, everybody's got a sponsorship, every player, basically, every team, every rink, every network. But it'll be an interesting issue because, you know, sometimes you got to skirt around your own loyalties, and we'll have to see how he handles it.
Well, like the NBA on Turner, they're doing FanDuel. It's like sponsored by FanDuel. So, you know, they're spending tons of money on that. The NBA playoffs on TNT and that show with Ernie and Jed and Barkley and the Diesel, that, you know, that show just absolutely has dominated basketball and television ratings forever. And they've all gotten huge multi-year deals. They've gotten tons of money they've made off of that, those the talent. And I think they're raking in sponsorships, that TNT NBA coverage, just raking it in. But do you feel like, you know, in the NBA, they got Barkley and Shaq and Kenny, they're very entertaining. Do you think that, don't you feel like, because I got to tell you, I think NBC's coverage without Roenick was entertaining. And I think without it, you got all these stiffs. I just tell it like it is. I don't care what they think of me. You know what? Because I got stones the size of Texas. And everybody knew when I called a game that I was on the mic and they were scared to death of me. And I was entertaining. I was never boring, ever. Even when they were losing 10-1, I was entertaining. Here's the deal. You and I have had this conversation. Don't you feel they have to have someone, and I'm not talking me at all. I'm talking they got to get someone like Barkley, not Barkley, but someone like him, someone with personality that's entertaining that can turn hockey into a, you know, a fandom sport where people get interested in it. Because all these guys like Sharp and Keith Jones and Anson Carter, they're so boring. I've had more fun in a dentist chair.
Yeah, they're pretty straight-laced. You know what they'll do? They're going to find a 30-year-old Don Cherry, and they're going to pull him out of the woodwork. And because the 80-year-old Don Cherry will last about 4 minutes on camera before he says something that gets blown off. But it'll have to be someone that, frankly, we don't know. And it'll have to be somebody that knows hockey really well. And he's going to be pulled out of left field. Because you're right. I can't think of anybody who is going to make the talent show. And you remember when the big deals were done, when Al Michaels, you know, left ABC and went to NBC and all of those were deals that were franchise makers. I think I agree that you need somebody in the hockey booth. It's gotta be, well, you've done it, but you got to admire play by play guys in hockey. It's a compliment. Maybe you and Emmerich, how about you guys calling games? You know, you're quick anyway, but that's got to be the hardest game to call of any. Do you agree?
Well, I think it is. And, you know, I've always told the truth about it. When I did it, I had never called a game in my life when they hired me. And they hired me because I could sell hockey to rednecks. It was as simple as that. I mean, nobody in Atlanta cared about hockey. And when they say they did, they're lying. Just because there was a team there, the Flames, or that there was a minor league team there, the Knights, no one cared about hockey. It was very small numbers. You know, maybe 5,000-10,000 people cared about it in a city of 7 million at the time, right? So what I brought to the table was that I was number one in the market. I was very popular. I was huge. I was famous there. Everyone knew me, and they knew that I was crazy about hockey, and I would talk about it, and all these people care about is SEC football, and here's this guy talking about hockey on their radio airwaves, and I was number one in the market, so they kind of got used to it, and then all of a sudden I was doing stuff with the Knights, and then all of a sudden they offered me that job after I did some play-by-play, but I had never called a game. But I will say that when I started doing it, I thought I sucked. And when I finished doing it at the end, I thought I was really good at it. And I could call a really good game, and I was very entertaining and wild and crazy like Harry Carey. And everyone knew that, like, all stations all over the country played my clips of me calling games, and my fights were very exciting. When I called a fight, I would exaggerate the fight because I was on radio. So I thought I got very popular and very good at it. But at the beginning, I was not good at it, and I really didn't know what I was doing, and I had to learn the hard way. We'll come back with Rick Haro, and we got a lot more to talk about. I want to talk about Sabrina Ionescu and more.
Winning isn't a mystery. It's remaking the odds in your favor by developing a strategy through deftly applied expert information and insights. Where do you get this information?
Right here.
Well, duh. Get the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for all the bench, we're talking to Rick Haro. So anyway, I did the games, and I could definitely, at the beginning, I didn't think I could call a game, and I was deep in, it was kind of, I was in quicksand. It was no joke. I had to figure it out in a hurry on the fly, and they only play like four or five preseason games, so I had to really learn. I had people help me, and there's no denying people helped me simplify it and how best to approach calling a game with all the Russians and Swedes and Finns and all these Canadians and all these names that are bizarre. And then you're high. It's very high speed. I never had a problem with the speed. I had a quick mind. I was sharp. I could call the games. I was very fluid with names and stuff like that. I figured all that out. It was more about the lines, the defensive pairings. You know, you had four lines, defensive pairings when there were, you know, rules, penalties, knowing all the penalties, knowing, last shift, all these other things that you had to know when you're calling a game, like exactly what's going on, icing always, make the right call. It took time for me to, develop getting good at it. And then after you're doing 82 games, they didn't make the playoffs. So I did 82 games. I never missed a goal. I know that. Cause you could be talking or not paying attention and miss a goal and you make yourself look like an idiot, but I never missed a goal and I never missed a game. And I was crazy. I know all that. People didn't like it, whatever. They thought I was too extreme. That's fine too. Yeah.
I got one question for you. Cause I know we got other stuff to cover. Do you think, sophisticated hockey audience folks, Boston Original Six, Montreal, Toronto, the play-by-play is a bit different than explaining it to fairly non-sophisticated hockey audiences like Atlanta? Did you have to do more explaining?
Yes.
Did you kind of cut out some of the middle stuff? What was different?
Yes. So they don't know the game. They went to the games and they didn't know the rules and they didn't know what was happening in front of them. They were like, what do you mean it's a power play? What is that? What is offsides? Everything was, for them, it was all brand new. Now, they will always say they had the Flames and the Knights and all this other stuff. But I'm telling you, it was in the 70s. So you're talking about 1999 when they got a team again. So it was almost 30 years later, something like that, where they got a team. So all those people weren't watching. The Flames fans weren't, in my opinion, the Thrasher fans. There might have been a few in a very small number, right. But it was a whole new Southern crowd, and they were cheering at things. Like, they had no idea what they were cheering at. It was the funniest thing, but they sold out every night, and the place was full every night, so it had great energy, but they, never won. So they won 11 games out of 82. So they were cheering. They'd celebrate if they lost 7-1, they'd celebrate that they had a goal. Like, that was their celebration for the night, and they'd have a big party. So it was really kind of weird. But I don't, at the end of the day, I don't think, obviously they wouldn't have interest in me because I don't do it anymore. It's been so long. It's now 2021, and it's been that long since I've done it. I could do games tomorrow. I can sit in my house and call a game with my eyes closed. I can do hockey play-by-play right now in 5 seconds. I will say this, that Fleury just gave up another goal. I do not think he's having a brilliant game. The guy's been unbelievable, stopping everything. He's been so outrageously brilliant in net. But he gave up another one, and they're down two now. He gives up one more, they probably yank him. But he did not have a bad game. He had a great game and got burned on two goals. The goal at the end of the first period, he got burned on the side goal. That was a bad goal. The goal he just gave up, he never saw it. Went over his shoulder. He was screened. So I don't think he's had a bad game at all, but they're down two zip. They're in big trouble, mister, in this game. All right, so tell me, Rick, about Sabrina Ionescu and her new deal with Katie and all of his business partners. That sounds like a great deal for her. She's just blowing up in New York.
Great deal for her,
and a great deal for KD. He's got 35 Ventures, which is a media site, and Boardroom is part of it. She's got her big business network going on. And the Oregon superstar, and remember, she was a top pick of the WNBA draft, and she plays in KD's arena, or KD plays in her arena. They both at the Barclays Center, as we know. And she is kind of under his big management wing. So she's going to be doing a lot of cool stuff. And the other thing which a lot of people are surprised about is that ESPN viewership up about 74% during the WNBA season this year. That's only about 357,000 viewers across the ABC platform. So, you know, let's not jump for joy, but it is a big trend. And a lot of people are trying to figure out why. I think she has a lot to do with it.
So tell me about the Cristiano Ronaldo deal with the Therabody recovery technology. What's that all about?
Yeah, you know, all of the people, and every time we're on, we talk about some athlete doing some new stuff. Investors in this company include Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Breanna Stewart, and others. It is a company that competes with Hyperice that has league sponsorships with the NFL, NBA, MLB, the PGA Tour, U.S. Soccer, etc. And so he made Ronaldo over $50 million from endorsements last year alone, and he became the first active team sport athlete to hit $1 billion in career earnings. That's a big deal. He's also got more likes than any other human being on earth. So it's not bad to be Cristiano Ronaldo.
Believe me, you, that guy's bigger than life all over the world. He and Messi, it's amazing. And Ronaldo, as you said, now over $1 billion dollars he's made. That's crazy. So tell me about Shaq's deal with MaxPro. All these people working out at home with, you know, apps, with trainers like, you know, these Pelotons and stuff like that. What is MaxPro?
Yeah, it's a on-demand workout class that's offered through an app, and users can connect MaxPro to the app over Bluetooth and track weight lifted and number of reps compared to everybody else. They've sold 10,000 units. It's only $850, and the company earned $10 million in revenue. And Shaq is one of the fellow NBA investors, Steph Curry, Paul George. And, you know, he revealed, Shaq, that his And One shoe company surpassed 350 million pairs sold. So you look at endorsers that were kind of unexpected. When Shaq finished, and obviously his TV career has helped it too, did you really think that he was going to be one of the top three or four post-career endorsers in all sport?
No, I didn't. And I've never seen anything like what Barkley and Shaq have turned into. And then, you know, I think Barkley does a lot of ads and he makes a lot of money doing everything. But I think Shaq is different. He kind of reminds me a little bit in a quasi kind of way of like Magic Johnson, in the sense that like Magic's one of the biggest minority businessmen the country's ever seen. But I think Shaq's doing the same kind of thing in investing in businesses like the Papa John's and everything else. He's got all kinds of, you know, business deals where he owns pieces of this and that. In other words, just like he's doing with this company. I think he's been really smart with his money in terms of investing. And then Barkley's doing all these, you know, commercials and everything. He's gigantic. But I think Shaq's more into, frankly, the business end of things.
Yeah, I would agree. I would think that Shaq, you can call him a sophisticated investor because he's investing in these growth companies. What I just mentioned, you know, the Ring, the doorbell app, all of these companies are consistent with post-pandemic and people kind of growing out of their houses and getting out. And the guy has not only morphed his personality, but he is a clever, funny businessman. And let's not forget, he also owns a piece of the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think he's gigantic in all of his endeavors that he's doing. And then he's on this show. I think that show leads to business like no other. I think they all, you know, I'm surprised. Well, Kenny's doing more and more. He's got some new thing with Microsoft now. They're all gigantic because of that TNT show. So It has brought them great fame and fortune, all of them, it would appear to me. Some of the top tech stories. Tell me about EA. What are they doing with Ultimate Team?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. The Madden and FIFA offerings generated about $1.6 billion in revenue from last year. And the combination of those two plus the NHL franchise are big. They're the biggest money makers that EA has. The full year revenue of the company reached about $5.6 billion last year, and about 29% of it came from those Ultimate Team modes, making about $7 billion in Ultimate Team revenue since 2015. So those franchises, Madden, FIFA, and to a little bit of a lesser extent, NHL, certainly are the big bell cows of the company.
What is NBC Universal doing about the Tokyo Olympics in terms of everything? They've hooked up with Tunity for out-of-home viewership figures. What is all that, like ratings and stuff like that, tracking who's watching?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Mark Lazarus has been a friend. He's a book contributor of mine, and one of the first things that he's been saying consistently is we got to develop a system that doesn't look self-serving, but it's got to track television, internet, devices, bars, because it's not fair just to watch people who watch TVs. Those are older, and they're not, you know, the future. So the idea of making sure that there's a tracking device that everybody can buy into that tracks internet, Apple devices, Android, everything with a total number, that's great because advertisers ought to pay for that number, not a TV number. So this is what that's about. And by the way, it's going to be experimented on with the Olympics, and you notice the promos during the hockey game for all the Olympic trials this week. So, you know, NBC is all in, even if the Japanese public is not.
Yeah, it's strange because I feel like, you know, everyone that I talk to or even bring it up, they wouldn't walk around the corner to go to that thing. Even if they were given a free ride to go and tickets, credentials, airfare, hotels. I don't know anybody that wants anything to do with that Olympic Games. People think they're going to go there and die is what the reality of it is. No one wants to admit it, but that's exactly what it is. Everyone thinks if they go there, they're going to get sick and die. I'm running out of time, so the Sports Five. What is the USA Today High School Sports Awards? Are we out of time, Mafia? I have no idea what you're saying to me. All right, Rick, I got to run. I'm out of time. I love you. Great job. We'll talk again next Tuesday. We'll get everything in next time. We got a lot in today. We accomplished a lot. I love you. I'll see you Tuesday on Coast to Coast. Have a good week on Sports Grid, my friend.
All right, man. You too. Hope you get the NHL gig. See you.
All right, there you go. Rick Harrow watching hockey tonight, of all things, in South Florida after his Panthers were dispatched in the playoffs. I thought he would have turned off hockey, but he's still watching hockey. And this game, as I switched over to the Clipper game, 25-18, they lead that game in Salt Lake after one. And then Vegas, the last time I checked, they were down 2-0 in game five in deep trouble in Rado at the Pepsi can. It's Pharrell on the Bench. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Pharrell on the Bench. Listen, I watched this Tampa team tonight. I told you earlier, they are really good. You can say whatever you want about teams or hockey or who you root for or whatever else. I'm telling you, they look like champions to me. They play like champions. Like, they mean business. Like, they remind me of teams that repeat. They might not get it done. Who knows? But they're in the Final Four. And it's different now, obviously. I've talked about this on the show last night. I'll talk about it again tonight. It is not the conference finals. They're just the final four. So Tampa's going to play the winner of the Islander-Bruin series, which will be the Islanders. And it'll be a – I believe it's going to be the Islanders without a doubt. I honestly – and I'll tell you why in a minute. But here's the deal. It'll be a revisit of last year's conference final. And they're going to do it again, run it back. And they are, in my opinion, without a doubt, if you look at the East, and I know it's different because the North is Canada, and then you got the Central and all this other nonsense. But the reality is, to me, the two best teams in the East, frankly, are the Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they're going to play each other. But this Vasilevskiy tonight, a shutout, 29 saves, Braden Point with a goal, Colton with a goal. Has been unbelievable in the playoffs. They beat the Panthers and the Canes, and Cooper said, the coach, John Cooper, said they're the toughest two playoff rounds I've ever been involved in. And they won the cup last year. And he's saying that this two series they just won were harder. It's Ferrell on a bench.